We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, we got one more super chat down here. Mike Huff says, done with the Cade Madden experiment. So that leads us probably right into the offensive talk.
Yeah, I want to start off with a positive, though, because, again, we had – you can take that down, Vince. Appreciate Mike, thank you for the super chat, by the way. I didn't mean that as a negative, like, towards you, Mike. Just I wanted to talk about something else. First of all, I want to say this is why we – I wrote an article this summer saying, overlook Drew Pine at your own peril. Was the title of my article. This kid is a freaking gamer, man. Yeah. Like, he looks so poised in this game, Vince. Like, I don't know if you said you were watching TV copy, so you probably saw it. He came into the game and he was like, he didn't even put his mouth on the side. He wasn't like a nervous tick. And he just comes out there, his first two passes complete. Then he gets hit from behind, fumbles the ball, leads to Wisconsin taking the lead. And I'm like, uh oh, how's he gonna respond? He went 4 for 4 for 49 yards and a touchdown the next time he got on the field.
I mean, it was
now, great. There was a kick return for a touchdown within that. But his poise in this game is exactly what you and I have been talking about. And his release is so flipping quick. Mm-hmm. That seam throw to Michael Mayer was a thing of beauty.
Perfect throw.
And we finally saw some seams getting thrown today. Jack Cohn had a nice seam earlier to Avery Davis that set up a – should have been a score if they didn't miss their third field goal attempt of the season. But it was just such a poised throw. And then did you see the read on the touchdown pass, Vince? Did you see what happened? So they went empty. They had three receivers to the left, and Michael Mayer was the number three guy. And they had two guys backside. Kevin Austin was actually inside. It was a great play design. And they ran an option route to Michael Mayer. And he looks over, and he's looking at Mayer. That's where he wanted to go. The linebacker over Mayer and the linebacker inside of Mayer both ran with Mayer. As soon as Drew saw that, he came right back to Kevin Austin, come over the middle, and he hit him right in the middle of the field. He took it and went for a touchdown.
Well, it's funny because it's funny that you mentioned that, because the way that Austin ran that route, he ran it like he wasn't the first option.
He wasn't.
You know what I mean?
He ran it smart, because you can't just come screaming across the field on that.
Absolutely.
No, he knew he wasn't the primary read.
He knows it's going to take a second to get to him, is what I'm saying.
And he wasn't. You're absolutely right. He was not. Yeah. I mean, Drew, he didn't look like – you can tell when a guy's looking left to look a guy off and then coming back. He was looking left because Michael Mayer was his primary read.
And why wouldn't
he? And when he saw that inside – because it's one thing for Mayer's guy to go out, but when the inside backer goes out, he knows there's nobody else back there. And he just came back, was poised. And this came after he got blindsided and fumbled the ball and turned it over.
Right.
And allowed Wisconsin to go down and get the lead. I mean, you know, just the absolute poise from that kid. Quick release. And you saw today, too. He's a good athlete. He just isn't a runner.
Right.
There's a difference. His feet got a little fast in the pocket a couple times, you know, which you're going to expect. But, man, the kid showed incredible poise.
Yeah.
You know, good decision making. I mean, and he went 6 of 8 and he hit Joe Wilkins with a throw on third and six, hit freaking Joe Wilkins, went right through his hands, hit him in the face. You got to make that catch, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, that to me was just for that. He's been dismissed by a lot of Notre Dame fans. He's been, you know, it's the Tyler Buchner show and it's Jack Cohen. That's Tyler Buchner. And nobody cares about Drew Pine. And Drew Pine said, as I wrote in the article this summer, overlook Drew Pine at your own peril.
I love it.
Because that kid can flat out play. Now, do I still think Tyler Buchner's the future? Yeah, sure. But you know what? Drew Pine's not going to make it easy on anybody to beat him out.
Agreed.
And we saw why today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just to come off the bench and have that kind of poise, just like, hey, I got this. And then for a moment, it looked like Cohn was going to come back in. He was warming up to try to throw, and then he couldn't put any pressure on the foot. Yeah. But he was really good today.
I loved it. Obviously, we've been to a few practices, and Drew Pine is a guy that is very easy to rally behind if you're one of his teammates. He's the hype guy. He's the hype guy in the quarterback room. Okay. He's the guy that when they're moving from station to station, or there's, you know, the linemen coming over with the quarterbacks or whatever, he's first to greet those guys with like high fives, and like, he's the hype man. And so he's easy to get behind. He's a guy that is a great teammate. He wants what's best for everybody, which is fantastic. And so when he went in, everybody had 100% confidence in what he could do. And it was obvious. It was so obvious they were ready to play for Drew Pine, which is great. And that's nothing against Jack Cohn. That is not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is he's not your typical.
Jack Cohn's a leader too. That's
100%. Yes, it's just a different kind of leadership.
You have to have a backup quarterback that when he goes in the game, the other players say, yeah, we're fine. We're
okay. Yeah. And it was clear that was the case. Yeah. And so if Drew is the quarterback, okay. If Cohn is the quarterback, okay.
And Vince, I said that this summer. I said, I don't care who starts quarterback for Notre Dame. Whoever wins the job is going to be fine because they've got three good quarterbacks. Now, you know, let's deal with this. Jack Cohn is still the starter and should still be the starter.
And Brian Kelly confirmed that.
It's a whole lot different coming off the bench in a game than it is to be the guy that everybody prepares for.
Sure.
And Patrick, we will get to this here in a few. Absolutely. But I just wanted to pull that up just in case it goes
Thanks
away.
Thanks for the super chat, Patrick.
Yes. You know, and Anthony L, Drew effing Pine, thoughts on Reese's play calling. Thanks for all you do.
I'm definitely going to get to that.
Very good transition there, you know, but we'll talk about that next, but look, let's talk about Jack's performance. I thought Jack today was very up and down.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he had some brilliant throws. The seam route he got sacked on first down. It's 2nd and 17. You're like, here we go again.
Right.
And Wisconsin's already got a 3-0 lead, and he throws a great seam throw, just perfect timing, gets the ball out, hits Avery Davis, converts turns a second and 17 into a first down.
Yep.
Leads him down the field. You know, had some balls dropped. Great throw to Kevin Austin for the touchdown. And then there's some other throws where, you know, we've talked about this. You've got to put that sucker out for Braden Lindsay. You've got to throw it out. Let him run underneath it. You know, there were two chances for him. Yes, yeah. Two chances. And Braden wasn't super open on the second one. They did a good job running with him on the second one.
The first one, Wisconsin did a pretty good job of covering.
He was better than I thought he was going to be.
Me too. I thought Notre Dame could run by the secondary at will, and they didn't really have that opportunity as much as I thought that they would.
They didn't try it. There were some times Kevin Austin ran by a guy. Braden had one early that Jack overthrew him, actually, where Braden ran by the guy. But they were playing to take that away a little bit more today than they did with Braden than they did last week.
Yeah.
But he, you know, there's also times where Jack's climbing the pocket and he's not he'd step in. Climbing the pocket essentially means when the outside rush comes, you climb the pocket means you step into the pocket. Yeah. Okay. He was stepping into the pocket, but as he was stepping into the pocket, you could tell he's been hit about 30 times doing this because he was looking for the rush.
Yeah.
The disappointing thing about that is I've never seen that from Jack Cohn on film at Wisconsin. That's how bad the offensive line play has been. He's now looking for the rush. Now that's on him, right? Sure. I mean, he's got to look, you're fifth year senior. You can't be that way.
Right.
But at the same time, as a former quarterback, I can't blame him, you know, because you don't want to get hit and lose the ball. But he's there was a time where he had Kevin Austin kind of coming open over the middle. He could have climbed a pocket and threw it and quickly got it out, but he's clearly looking for the rush and his feet aren't set. He's not ready to throw that ball. He's got to be better than that. He just is. I mean, there were some throws he missed today. He had Avery Davis on an out cut and he just threw it over his head. I mean, that's not a typical Jack Cohn miss.
Right.
You can tell that the pressure's starting to get him. And with all due respect to Drew Pine, if he'd have got his brains beat in the first four games like Jack Cohn did, he may not have looked like he did today. So keep that in mind. Okay. You can only get hit in the face so many times before you start looking.
It's true. I mean, but that's true. I mean, that's just human nature. I mean, yeah, I absolutely correct.
But he left some plays out there today, in my opinion, Jack did. And Drew came in and Drew didn't in this particular game. But that doesn't mean that all of a sudden Jack Cohn should be benched and Drew Pine should be the starter. Now, if Jack's not healthy, here's what I will say. Kudos to Brian Kelly for saying what he said. That's what he should have said. Jack Cohn should still be the starter, right? Mm-hmm. Jack Cohn's done some darn good things for this football team so far early on. Florida State, comeback win over Toledo, you know, big money plays in the fourth quarter or second half last week, all that, okay? Having said that, if Jack Cohn's not 100% next week, don't play him.
Right.
Don't play him.
I agree.
You know, especially if Tyler Buckner's healthy, because I would start Drew Pine and have Tyler Buckner as part of that package. If Jack Cohn's – because, look, Jack Cohn, not 100% with a lower body injury against Cincinnati's pass rush
right.
with the way this offensive line's blocking, no thank you.
Right.
Hard pass. So Jack Cohn needs to be the starter unless he's not 100%. If he's laboring on that leg by Wednesday's practice, Drew, we're ramping your reps up.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you've got to do that.
Well, and he had a bunch of reps. I mean, Brian Kelly mentioned it because Tyler Buckner was out. I know what you looked at the Clemson situation.
No, noise started playing. Like ESPN is this weird thing where all of a sudden I had this ESPN page up with the scores up for the half whole an
time.
Hour.
The whole time.
And all of a sudden an ad starts playing randomly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, no, sorry about that.
What was I even talking about? See, I already lost my train of thought.
Jack Cohn and injury.
Buckner didn't really practice this week. And so Pine got a lot of reps. So, just see,
Buckner was not going to play this game. I was told this on Tuesday that Buckner was not going
to
play.
Right. And I tried to hint that to people, but, you know, it's like, guys, he went out with a hamstring. Let's be smart about this. I mean,
I need to say something here because. I feel bad sometimes because we had to kind of talk about Buckner a little bit during this week, although we purposely didn't talk about him. But
right.
Sometimes I get told things by somebody who says this can't get out because if it does, people are going to know where it came from.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
And it's the same reason we were told, hey, don't say anything about Kurt Heinisch. Because you see on Tuesday that he's out and then Wisconsin knows that Kurt Heinisch is out.
Sure.
I always get uncomfortable with those situations because it's like, people say, well, you know, you owe it to us to tell you to a degree, yes. But you also have to understand if I put some of these things out where people have said, hey, don't – if somebody tells me don't say anything publicly,
right.
That's different than me learning news and then just choosing not to report it. It wasn't my decision. We were asked, don't report this.
Exactly.
And if I do that, you know, then I don't have that source anymore.
Yeah.
So I just want to be clear why that just sort sometimes the difficult line we have to. I was told Tuesday that Buckner and Heinisch weren't going to play.
Yeah.
Hopefully Heinisch can come back next week, but you feel a little bit better about him being out because, you know, boy, goodness gracious, Vince, you get him back next week.
Oh yeah. I mean,
defensive line is. Whew.
Like I said, everybody that played had their name said at least once. I mean, it was just, you know, hey, you know, you get a rush. I mean, it was great. It was fantastic. It was great.
Yeah.
So, since we're kind of on a little transition here, I'm going to throw up some of these super chats so I don't lose them. Mm-hmm. I don't want to lose them.
Well, and I want to pull one up by Mark that's relevant to what we were talking about. Mark Fair Stewart enough. Says, my issue with Jack Cohn is his lack of escapability. I don't know if this was stated earlier, but why does he get small in the pocket of standing tall and trying to deliver the ball? I just kind of think, look, Mark, I don't disagree with you, but this has been a problem since the spring with the offensive line. And the big thing is like you get hit so many times, you kind of start going into protect mode.
Absolutely.
He's been hit from behind twice this year where he's lost the ball. you're going to get a little antsy and say, I got to protect the ball. He's got to fight through that. That's not saying it's okay, but it's trying to explain why.
Right.
But he's got to improve his footwork in the pocket. He gets a little heavy, to Mark's point. I do think at times Jack gets a little heavy footed when he's in the pocket, which makes it a little bit harder for him to do it. And he also has to do a better job of when he climbs, having the ball ready to throw.
Sure.
That's another thing he's going to have to do a better job of. Because look, Jack Cohn should be the starter next week, but he's got to start kind of playing cleaner. Because at mm-hmm. the same time, when you do have Drew Pine and you do have Drew Buckner, you have to be careful that – I know what you keep looking at. You got that NC State Clemson game on. It's all good. I get it. I keep doing it too. I'm just a little bit sneakier about it than you are, Vince.
Yeah. I don't have the multiple, so I've got stuff going all over.
But to the point, though, is when you do have the talent Notre Dame as a quarterback, if you're in your Tommy Reese and your Brian Kelly, at some point in time you have to say, hey, Jack, we need you. We understand why this is happening, but you can't. You got to be better than that. Absolutely. You know? But look, if you put Drew Pine in the game after four games, if the line keeps doing this, he's going to get a little gun shy too.
Absolutely.
It's just the nature of it. So definitely,
thanks for the super chat,
definitely
Mark.
Understand where you're coming from, Mark. And that is an issue. He's going to have to, but that's also where I think Tommy Reese needs to. And we had a question about what I think of Tommy Reese's game plan. I thought it was good in some ways. I thought they did it. There was after the first series, it was like same crap on the first series. By the second or third series, you start seeing a little bit more crossers, a little bit more Mayer over the middle, a few more things where you kind of left the middle of the field, some things over the middle of the field. We saw them attacking the seams a little bit more today than we saw last week. He missed it. He freaking
shut
missed
up.
It.
You're ahead of me.
The
you
NC
stink.
State kicker just missed a chance to beat.
It's lined up perfectly.
Left. He hooks it left. It's going to overtime.
Kidding me,
but I thought there were some things in that regards with some of the quicks that we've talked about. There was more levels concepts today. I thought the play call where you went empty, because what did we say was spread them out, spread Wisconsin out. When did Notre Dame have success today? When they spread Wisconsin out. When did Notre Dame struggle to get offense going today? When they went 12 and 13 personnel.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely,
and so and that. The Drew Pine touchdown pass was out of empty.
Yes.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, what I didn't like about some of the game plan or the play calling or however you want to phrase it, when they got down in the red zone, I didn't like them just trying to run it up the gut. I did not like that at all.
Can't run.
That was disappointing to me. Like, throw the ball. And I also didn't like – I can't remember what drive it was. It might have been coming out of halftime. They went deep right away and missed. And then they tried to run the ball and lost a yard. And so you're putting too much on third down at that point. And I didn't like that. You know what I mean? If you throw the ball the first two times, look, I'm okay with you taking a shot, but don't run the ball on second and 10 when you haven't had
zero success. So they took a play action shot early. Yes. Took a play action shot early and he overthrew him. And then they went run up the middle. And I thought Kyron made a bad cut on that. I thought he could have picked up 2-3 more yards. We'll get to him here in a second. But
so that's really all. I've
had some other issues
said,
with his play calling too.
But
give me some screens. Look, Braden Lindsey has to get the ball in some other way than post and goes.
Correct.
I'm sorry. You've got to send him on some crossers. You've got to give him some screen. Give him a jet sweep. I mean, run a freaking reverse just to make teams know that you're willing to do it.
Right.
With Tyree or – look, Chris Tyree had three touches today on offense. Three. That's it. Yeah. I'm sorry. When your offense is struggling to consistently move the football, you can't have Chris Tyree touching the ball three times.
Right.
Because what did he do on his fourth touch? He went 96 yards for a touchdown.
Right. Right. And I did like the tunnel screen to Austin. He just freaking fell.
Yeah. He probably outruns 41 up the middle on that play.
Hey, Brian, I'm going to step away for just a second. I will be right back.
Okay. So to me, that we've got to see more things from Tommy Rees in that regards. And part of the reason is number one, it's about getting your playmakers the ball in space more effectively. Part number two about it is it's ways to protect the offensive line. I'm actually trying to go down and find Notre Dame's touchdown pass, the first touchdown pass, because I'm trying to remember if that one was on a spread out formation too. But, you know, look, we talked about this. The way to beat Clemson in this game was to spread them out. And when Notre Dame spread them out, they were able to create enough space to find some opportunities. You know, you look at the seam throw to Avery Davis early in the game. Again, they spread them out. They went 11 personnel. And they spread them out. That is when Notre Dame had success today. And in my opinion, until the offensive line can start playing better, they're gonna have to do more of that. Honestly, I'd rather see more 10 personnel than 12 personnel right now. Part of the reason for that is because, honestly, the wide receivers aren't blocking well, or the tight ends aren't blocking well enough for you to really have an advantage going 12 personnel. Like last year, it made sense because when you went 12 personnel last year, you were putting Tommy Tremble in the game and he was a dominant blocker. Right now, the way things are going with Notre Dame, they're not getting that kind of play from the tight ends in the blocking game to where it really benefits you. You're not a better running team when you go 12 and 13 personnel, at least not to the degree in which you benefit from. I'm actually looking at 12 personnel was when they were in 12 personnel on Austin's first touchdown pass. And they took a field shot, right? Outside shot. So to me, those are some things that I need to see Notre Dame do more of, is more spreading the field, more opportunity. And the thing I liked about that is they went 12 personnel, but they released both tight ends into routes, occupied the safeties and left the one-on-one, getting more guys out and involved. So those are things that we're going to have to see more from Notre Dame, in my opinion, is spreading the field out to protect the line. Because the line is simply not good enough and your tight ends aren't blocking well enough for it to be worth it to play as many snaps in 12 and 13 personnel. I mean, they went 12 and 13 personnel. We're still getting 1 yard, 2 yards. They just weren't having success there. So there's got to be more creativity in that regards to protect just what's been a really bad offensive line. Got another super chat from Mark Staten. Said, enjoy the show, guys. Keep up the good work. Go Irish. Thank you for that, Mark. Got a super chat from Beast Daniel. Regardless of starting, Cincinnati with a new DC has three diverse quarterbacks to consider. That's a good way of looking at it. That's a really, really good way of looking at it. No question about it. Although I don't think I necessarily would say that three different, I think there's enough similarities between Cone and Pine that I don't know if they create a whole lot of a different preparation for you as a defense. So let's talk about the running backs real quick as we're waiting on Vince to come back. I think number one for me, when I look at the running backs, I thought that Kyren Williams, he's trying to do too much, in my opinion. Because the line's bad, he's kind of suffering what Jack Cohn's suffering through, where he's kind of feel like I gotta be prepared for the lineup to play well. It's causing him to kind of dance a little too much, trying to make plays when he needs to just hit it up in there. But at the same time, I kind of understand it, because when he did have positive yards today, it was mainly because he was just making something out of nothing. And the reality is that sometimes you kind of have to do that if your offensive line is not playing well enough. But the big thing for me with Kyren is one big positive, one huge negative from today. The huge negative was the fumble. you're an All-American. You're a junior now. You cannot be putting the ball on the ground like that. You just can't. And then the positive were he had two great blitz pickups today on big pass plays. He is a guy to me that is just finding ways to make an impact in games where, you know, look, he had 33 yards on 18 carries. Kyron Williams averaged 1.8 yards per carry today. And that's not because of Kyron Williams. It's because of the offensive line. Yet he still finds ways to be successful. He still finds ways to help the team. He still finds ways to make an impact on the game. And that just shows you that's leadership. That's football character right there. So I really liked seeing that. I thought Chris Tyree, he didn't carry the ball much. He was their most decisive runner today. He only carried the ball twice, caught one pass for short yards, which he's got to get more touches than that. They've got to do more things with those two backs together in the game at the same time. They've got to figure out more ways to get those guys more involved in the pass game, in my opinion, and getting them in space. The other part to me, receivers. Some good. I tell you what, we wrote before the game, we talked about before the game where we're going to learn a lot about Kevin Austin in this game. And not that he's talented. I mean, we know he's talented. We've seen what he can do. But he was coming off of a really awful performance where Purdue got in his head and he bounced back. And, you know, how he was going to bounce back to me was going to show what kind of maturity he has as a football player, as a young man. And he came back and played well. Now, he had an early kind of a drop. The ball was a little bit behind him, but he made some great plays in this game, the great catch on the touchdown. So this before his second touchdown and then before the seam route to Mayer, he makes that great catch of a low throw by Pine on third down that moved the chains. If he doesn't make that play, it's fourth down. Then he's got to maybe kick a long field goal, if not punt. So I thought he came out, played really, really well, had six catches for 76 yards, two touchdowns. I love seeing how he bounced back after last week's game. Avery Davis continues to just be a steady, solid player, four catches for 55 yards, had a nice seam route. Knows how to get open and should have had a couple more catches if the quarterbacks just didn't miss him on some throws. So I thought he was solid. Braden Lindsey and Joe Wilkins didn't do a whole lot. Braden had one nice, you know, long catch on the sideline on an out cut. I don't blame him for the incompletions on the deep balls, but my coaching point to him would be, yeah, the quarterback's got to make a better throw, but I need you to fight for that ball a little bit more. We're talking about receivers, Vince. I need you to fight for that ball a little bit more. We're talking about Braden Lindsey.
We talked about
the running backs. We talked about Kevin Austin, not just the way he played, but the fact that he bounced back from last week's performance says a lot about him.
Yeah.
Avery Davis is just steady Eddie, just does his job real well. Lindsey, I'm not blaming Lindsey. Like, as a receivers coach, I'm not saying, hey, Braden, you're the reason that ball was incomplete. I'm going to say, hey, look, man, I'm going to get all over the quarterback. You got to get that ball out there. But I need you, when the ball is thrown there, to make a better effort on
the
ball,
especially
the second time.
Yeah.
You know, if he goes up and maybe reaches a little bit more, maybe then he can get that pass interference penalty.
Well, and the other thing is we've seen him in practice battle for balls,
right?
And be successful. But we haven't seen it in a game yet. And that, I don't want to say it's disturbing, but it's something he needs to work on. I mean, absolutely. He needs to be able to battle for some of those jump balls. Because remember, you know, Ian Book used to throw balls up, those 50-50 balls on guys that he would trust. You know, if you want those balls, you've got to show
them. Those were the 6'4 guys, right? I mean,
totally get that. No, totally get that. I'm just saying, you got to battle for those 50-50 balls. Yeah.
Right. Jack's got to get the ball out there. Joe Wilkins flat out has to make that play on third down. I'm sorry. I know it's good coverage and the guy got his hand, but the guy didn't impact the ball. The ball went right through your hands. You got to make that play.
Because it was here and the guy's hand was back here. You still got to catch it. I mean,
got to make that catch. Got to make that catch. I apologize. So some up and down from the receivers, but the two guys that were good were really good. I thought Kevin Austin and Avery Davis were really good. Michael Mayer battled in the pass game, you know, got hit a lot. They used him a lot on short throws to open up some stuff behind it that the quarterback simply just didn't have the time to go to.
Yeah.
I thought that part of the scheme was really good. Used him effectively on third down. They put him backside a couple times. More than normal, which I liked, and actually threw it to him at a third down throw to him on a play.
Which I really like.
Yes.
Because that was a matchup that was very beneficial to Notre Dame. They had him on a safety. And Michael Mayer against any safety not named Kyle Hamilton, I will take that matchup. And since they play on the same team, that's never going to happen, at least not in college. So I love that. You know, isolate him. You know, put him out there and isolate him and see what happens. If they get the matchup you want, you go to it. And they did, and he made a great play. It was a great throw. The defender wasn't going to touch that throw, and Michael Mayer made a great catch. So I love that all the way around, top to bottom.
Blocking at tight end's got to get better. It's not there, just the line that's not blocking.
No, there was one where George Takacs gave up. I mean, I don't know if he even touched him. I think it ended up being a sack, which was really bad. But I noticed a lot of tight end blocking just not up to par. Now, full disclosure, Brian and I kind of have a system. I was watching a lot of the receivers and the coverages, and he was watching the line. So I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the line. But when I would kind of peek in, I noticed that it wasn't great.
You'll have more thoughts on that tomorrow when we do on further review.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to get better. But, you know, let's talk about the elephant in the room.
It's mean. Don't talk about me like that.
I'm writing the post-game game observations, and I'm trying to not just crush them, right? So I'm like talking about how, you know what, they played hard. They did. They played hard today. The offensive line played hard.
Well, that's good.
But I'm like, how bad is it that I have to like force myself to first mention at least they played hard about the Notre Dame offensive line? I mean, if Notre Dame's offensive line would have played the way that Wisconsin's offensive line played today, Notre Dame wins that game 41-13 because of the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it would just need to be average, and they are not at close to average. I mean, it's guys getting beat. But part of the reason Tosh Bagar's getting beat is because they have not fixed his technique yet, and they haven't fixed the fact that a fifth-year senior like Josh Lowe continues to get driven into the quarterback because his technique is regressed. It's worse than it was 2 years ago in 2019, if we're being honest about this, Vince. If Josh Lugg was playing like he did 2 years ago when he replaced Robert Hainsey for five games late that season where Notre Dame went 5-0 and scored a ton of points, this offense would be really, really pretty good right now.
And that's, I think, the frustrating part for me is we've seen him be good.
Right.
We've seen him be good.
Yes.
He's regressed. He's so regressing, much
from that and it's from a fundamental standpoint. It's not say, well, you know, maybe his back is hurt, but he is regressed from a fundamental standpoint so much that and Kane Madden doesn't play with the same technique he had at Marshall. Look, Kane Madden would be a better player today if all we got was the same dude we had at Marshall.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because he at least what was the one thing I said about him at Marshall? Dude is really, really fundamentally sound.
And he's strong. He's fundamentally strong. Yeah, you know what I mean?
He is like, not fundamentally sound at all. Same thing today. Stopping their feet. Now, the few times that the line worked through contact, they got good movement.
Yeah.
There was one play where it was, I think it was Kristofic and Patterson, I think, that just kind of worked the backside zone and just like pushed the guy off the line.
Yeah.
There was a play where Patterson and Madden had a really nice push for a first down. And so we saw it like four or five times, but it was they came off low. They drove their feet through contact. Imagine that.
It's not that complicated.
But, you know, you see Tosh continuing to overset, and I've never seen a tackle get beat inside as much as he gets beat inside.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's all technique. And we saw zero progress from last week. You had to put a true freshman in the game to get anybody to play with good technique. That says everything you need to know about this offensive line.
Yeah.
And it is such a poorly coached line. It's you can't spin it anymore. You can't spin it anymore. You can't say, well, it's a bunch of guys. I put some up on our message board last night. And you want to talk about getting fired up, okay? Everybody said, well, you know, it's an experienced group and blah, 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 barf, okay? So I put something up last night about I was watching the Wake Forest game, okay? And I'm watching Wake Forest just go all over the field on Virginia, who isn't any better or worse than the teams Notre Dame's played in the first four games defensively. I mean, they're not good, but neither of the teams that Notre Dame has played so far, right? And I'm watching Wake Forest that lost a lot of new starters. They had one of their top running backs is now playing at Michigan State and killing at Michigan State. And Wake Forest has gone for 164, 161, 225, and 203 yards rushing. They ran for 225 yards on Florida State, right? Ran for 203 against Virginia last night. And I did some research. Notre Dame's offensive linemen coming into the season returned 63 career starts, most of them by two players. Wake Forest offensive line returns 62 career starts, most of them by two players. Wake Forest's offensive line has three redshirt juniors, a redshirt sophomore, and a redshirt freshman starting. Notre Dame has a six-year senior, a fifth-year senior, a redshirt junior who is a three-year starter, a redshirt sophomore, and a redshirt freshman in their starting lineup. Their five offensive linemen, their 24/7 composite rankings were 964, 1,015, 1,593, 2,260, and 2,397. Notre Dame starting offensive linemen were ranked 95th, 100th, 120th, 369, which was Jarrett Patterson, and then Kane Madden wasn't ranked. And yet, Wake Forest can go out there and do what they've done through four games, right? Averaging 38.8 points per game against Old Dominion, Norfolk State, Florida State, and Virginia, which isn't a whole lot different than what Notre Dame has faced so far, and rush for almost 190 yards per game and give up five sacks on the season in four games, and Notre Dame's creeping up on 20. Now, not all those are on the line. There was two covered sacks today. Like, they gave up a lot of sacks today, but two of them were covered sacks. I mean, you and I talked about that. I said, hey, was anybody open? Because I'm watching TV, and he's like, no, those are covered sacks.
Yeah.
And it didn't look to me like anybody got open either. So it wasn't. They're not all on them, but a lot of them are.
Sure.
So you're telling me Nick Tabaka's that much better of an offensive line coach than Jeff Quinn? Okay, fine. Then hire Nick Tabaka.
Yeah. Then you.
Nick. Nick's a good dude. I met him when I was at Defiance. He coached at Defiance College. Actually, you know, met him at some camps and different things like that. Good dude, right? I like Nick. But how can he get these group of two star players? One dude ranked in the thousands, like out, you know, in the like not in the thousands.
Yeah.
And you can put a line together that can go do what they're doing, and yet Notre Dame's getting outscored by their own defense and special teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can get mad at Tosh Baker all we want for giving up a sack and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, at the end of the day, it is on him. He's got to make a better play.
Sure.
But if you go back and watch that play, Tosh thought he was supposed to do this. And it's like, why does that keep happening? That same thing happened last week and the week before. You're telling me you haven't fixed that yet? You're telling me he's not a real bright kid, he can't figure that out? Well, I know that's not true because everybody else is still making the same mistakes they've made. That's the thing. At least they got him to play hard. But from an assignment standpoint, they're making the same mistakes in game four that they made in game one.
Right.
Yet the defense makes these huge mistakes in game one. And by game four, they're one of the five best defenses in college football. Right?
Yeah. Well, we've seen strides from the defense every week. Every week coaching. They've gotten better. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's like one of these things is not like the other.
Right.
You know, when you watch Sesame Street, right. I mean, it's right there in front of everybody. And it's so painfully obvious to everybody that's the most disturbing part. Look, if there's a problem, then, there's nothing you can do about it. Okay. But there's something you can do about right. it. And it's not like you don't have players, right? You and I have both coached teams where you're like, I just don't have dudes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we're going to do the best that we can. We're going to scheme around it. We're going to do everything that we can with the guys that we've got.
Right.
You know? But that's not the case either. So it that's what makes it just insanely frustrating to watch this team operate. Mm-hmm. I mean, we say the same thing every week. And I don't see it changing anytime soon, yep. Which is the sad part.
Yep. Because we haven't seen a thing change except for the toughness. And that has more to do with the head coach stepping in there and saying, hey, better get your stuff together.
Yeah.
Hey, well, at least they're playing hard. That's great. Step one. But step two is now fixing the problems, and they're not doing that. That's the concerning thing. They're not fixing those problems.
Whatever. I didn't see it, and that's fine.
Yeah, you're not missing it. There's a couple super chats we got down there, Vince. But at the end of the day,
I think you get
until they fix it.
Interesting.
I just saw them pop up.
No, but it's funny. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
Okay, Neil Wachter says championship caliber teams with average MAC level offensive line play. Scheme can help, but we need to see development to win a championship. You're 100% right, Neil.
I think average
MAC level offensive line play
is generous.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I think that's generous. I really do. I
if they had Toledo's offensive line coach, the way that, I mean, again, they play hard. They're at least fundamentally sound. They're just not real talented.
Right.
Notre Dame has 6'7", 300-plus pound guys. And Sam Tyrell asked the question, which is a fair question. You know, Brian, would you change the lineup of the guards? Won't matter.
Yeah.
It won't matter.
Problem. It's not going to matter.
Would I put Rocco Spindler in the game? Heck yeah, I would. Would I play Andrew Kostofic more than he's playing? Yeah, I would. But at the end of the day, that's going to make a minimal difference, in my opinion, because the problem is still a coaching problem. I mean, you're almost beneficial by putting Rocco in the game because he has less time being coached this
week. Yeah. He has less time to be screwed up.
And that sounds snarky. It is snarky, terrible, but it's also true.
But that's why look who's had some success, right? Alt has looked pretty decent when he's been in. Fisher looked decent when he was in before he got injured. Right? All these freshmen are looking decent because they haven't been under the influence for long enough, you know?
Right. And that sounds snarky and all that, but I mean, I'm sorry, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah.
The longer guy, because look, we said this was going to be a big year for Jeff Quinn. There's no more Harry Hiestand guys left.
The whole show on it.
You know, and right now this looks like a completely like you and I can tell the difference between a group of players that's making young mistakes and a group of players that are just not prepared. This group is not prepared.
Yeah.
It's not about guys trying to gel, they're not prepared. Right. They're not prepared to pick up twists and stunts that teams are throwing at them on a weekly basis. Teams are basically just rinsing and repeating the game plan against Notre Dame, and it doesn't matter. It just the same stuff works. They still can't pick up a simple edge blitz. At least today, Tommy Reese called a screen on a play where they brought a corner fire that nobody touched the corner. But, you know, of course, it got blown up. Wisconsin did a good job of sniffing it out. It was good defense. But at the end of the day, look, y'all, should Rocco play more? Yeah. Is the Kane Madden experiment over? I hate saying that because I don't think this is Kane's fault.
Yeah.
Kane was never that good. They overhyped him, but Kane should be better than he is right now. If he played like he did again at Marshall, he'd be a solid player right now. That's it. Solid player. He'd have some trouble with athletic players, but he'd still be getting some movement and they'd be able to run behind him a little bit and things like that. But he's regressed technically. How can I say that's a sixth year senior that's doing that? This is not, the players should not be responsible for their own footwork. That's a coaching thing. You know what I mean? It's frustrating because that's what's holding this team back. Notre Dame is 4-0 and have now beaten back-to-back Big Ten teams. And they've had one of the, in my opinion, 10 worst offensive lines in college football right now, from what I've seen.
It's just,
yeah. Florida State just lost to Louisville, by the way. They're 0-4.
Who did?
Florida State lost at home to Louisville, by the way.
Of course they did.
Yeah. Auburn almost lost to Georgia State. They just scored a touchdown with less than a minute to go to take a lead over Georgia State. Weird freaking year of college football, and man.
We told you that there was going to be parity this year in college football.
Yeah.
And this is a great opportunity for somebody to go out there and just grab it.
Yeah, and that's so maddening, because if Notre Dame's offensive line was just mediocre, top three team right now. I mean, the skill talent's there. The defense is getting there.
Now, I will say I'm interested to see what happens with Notre Dame in the polls, because everybody thought Wisconsin was so good. And then they got this score here. So I am interested. Not that the polls matter to me, but I'm very interested.
It's at least interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do with them. I will say that. But yeah.
4th and 5.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I'm still ahead of you.
Yep.
So Vince, anything else offensively before we kind of get to some other things here? Anything else offensively that you want to discuss or?
No, I think you nailed it. I mean, I thought Kevin Austin had a nice bounce back game. I really do. I think that was a big question mark of mine. I know he's got talent, but I wanted to see him bounce back from the game that he had against Purdue, and he did. I still have my doubts and my questions about Braden Lindsey, but I'm not sure they're using him 100% correctly. So there's that. Avery Davis. Well,
he needs to do the things they've had him do, but that can't be the only thing.
There you go. Thank you for making that sound better, because that's exactly right.
That's why I get paid the big bucks, baby.
Yeah, baby. They need to get Chris Tyree more touches. That absolutely needs to happen, and it's not happening yet.
Three freaking touches.
Right.
On offense.
And he changes the momentum of the game on special teams. Get him the ball. Okay. Yeah,
you sounded like John Panette there real quick. It's my favorite comedian. He has this thing. He's a real big guy.
Yeah.
And there's this thing where he gets in line and people do dumb things in lines of like buffing. He's like, get out of the line. But yeah, you got to get him the ball more.
You have to. And Tommy Reese is progressing with his play calling. I'm not totally upset with it. There was just a few, and we mentioned them. There's a few items that I really wish that they would do differently, especially when they're down in the red zone.
And especially when your line sucks.
Yeah, I mean, that was frustrating to me. I mean, it's but you're compacted down there. They know you want to try to run the ball. You are not at the point where when everybody in the stadium knows you want to run the ball, you can run the ball.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.